Hey man, we're back. Thanks for joining the Building a Pair podcast, everybody. I am your host, Chris Holland, and I'm very excited to announce one of my close friends, Julian. Julian, you're going to fill in your last name because I don't want to stuff it up, mate.
Come on, Chris. I mean, I can hardly understand what you're saying. I'm sure you could pronounce my last name. Julian Kersigara.
Go. See, much easier if we do it that way. Julian, you're over in New South Wales at the moment, and you're a part of a company called Step Party Property. Is that right, mate?
Yeah, that's correct. We're in sunny Sydney in New South Wales. Search Party Property's been around coming into our 6th year now, so it's been a great journey, and it's great to see the industry grow as well. There's been a huge influx of buyers agents join in through some courses that are available now to really build that industry.
Yeah. So just for our listeners, Julian, so a lot of my guys that listen to this podcast is more building and pair for investors that are curious and predominantly building, but obviously your background, or not so much your background, let's just talk about Search Party Property first. So is it predominantly established market that you deal with, and is it Australia wide, or is it just in New South Wales?
Yeah, we specialize in established properties. We still do the odd new property or development and things like that. But yeah, established property. Our buyer persona is really that 35 to 40-year-old couple, maybe a couple of kids, normally have a house, which means they can draw equity to start their journey. And they're just looking to get ahead. And they start thinking about at that age bracket, retirement and how are we going to retire without being on the pension and all these type of ideas start to become. So that's probably our ideal persona, and we are buying in Sydney, Brisbane, Perth, and we've also got started up a gentleman in last end of last year in Melbourne. So kind of just
Oh,
building up that business, getting that reputation down there, and then once that market is cherry ripe to start to buy, we'll move into that market too. But it's not quite there yet.
that sounds like you do a lot of the research firsthand, right? Before you start selling in places that you're not familiar in. Would that be right in saying that?
Yeah, I guess it's a bit of a macro. I use a funnel analogy, and when I do a sales presentation, it's kind of that funnel analogy. Looking at the bigger data first, the bigger data sets, using a lot of the software algorithms that are out there through companies like DSR and HTAG and CoreLogic, and pulling their data together, using all their algorithms to sort of look at infrastructure spend, migration, vacancy rates, IRD scores, so the type of people living in the area through demographic scores, walkability scores through schools, transport, infrastructure is a big one, obviously around the country as well, and hence coming into Perth, spend a good week there, and obviously where we met as well, and then people took me around all around Perth, looking at the market, north, south, east, and west, and realised a couple of years ago that the Perth market's also the right time to move in, so that's when we started to build our team in Perth.
For sure. That's interesting, mate. There's a lot more to it because obviously in Western Australia, and a lot of my audience are FIFO workers. So they've got a heap of money, they've got the borrowing capacity, they may already have one or two properties. But generally speaking, from my understanding, when these guys come and see me, it's just like, oh, I want to build an X, want to buy an X because something my mate told me to do. But from what you just rattled off there's actually a lot more to it in terms of using all the data available to you to calculate the correct investment. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, I often say, Australia's favorite pastime is, property at barbecues, the property chat at a barbecue. And I think I did a post about that on LinkedIn, a bit of a joke about watching out for that property guru that walks into every barbecue. But yeah, look, it's a great topic. We all love talking about it. And but yeah, there is obviously that people's opinions and obviously headlines as well. Obviously the clickbait that we see a lot of coming out. I mean, obviously last year we kept seeing everything around the mortgage cliff and items like that, which never really eventuated, property market crashing, things like that, which again didn't occur. So we tend to use data to help us direct ourselves in those situations. And yeah, having people on the ground, as you know, Chris, the boots on the ground is the biggest differentiator between, I guess, hearsay and family and friends, which all have great intentions, but actually there is a little bit of science behind what we do. Yeah.
Exactly. No, that's good, mate. That's good. So, Jillian, let's just go back to yourself. So, who is Jillian? How did you get into property? How long have you been in property? Just for our listeners, obviously, when we caught up, mate, I got a real good understanding of your past and future and what your plans are, but just tell the audience, who are you, mate?
Yeah, geez, how far back do we go? But yeah, I migrated with my family, my parents at that stage, and two kids. Three of us, two sisters, and moved out to the western suburbs of Sydney, where a lot of migrants start their lives. And worked through school. It was very, very different background back then. Very white Australia, very different to what we're seeing in Sydney now. When I get on a bus now, it's actually looking for the white Australian, so to speak, because the cultural differentiation and just the migrations have really changed that. And we're into the second generation now as well. School was great, high school, and pretty tough. A lot of racism coming through school, but I was pretty good at sports. That kind of helped me get through that and, get into the right groups, maybe, as you could say. Studied a couple of years of accounting and then realised that wasn't really for me. Had a bit of a personality, so sitting behind an Excel spreadsheet wasn't going to be for me. So I navigated my way into a travel business and then enjoyed that industry, and then I did a tourism major in marketing. And then I worked for some of the best hotels and airlines and travel companies in the country. And that was a great experience just for really building that whole customer service ethic in me, just every day trying to outdo the customer experience for your perceived in a hotel when your guests coming in. I was always in sales and marketing, so my job was always to work with the corporate clients and get them to use our hotels, for example, or corporate clients to use the airline when I was working in airlines. So, and then I guess I did another tranche of 15 years and after that in customer engagement and loyalty. So working around Asia Pacific with loyalty programs with the big banks, telecommunication companies, in designing and running their loyalty programs. So I guess that gave me that data slant, because then it was all about data. How do we move customers from one brand to another? We can only analyze that through data. And going back then, 10, 15 years ago, we didn't have the type of CRMs and data analysis, ChatGPT, for example, that we have today. So that was a very different world. But that was probably where the data mindset of mine and interest then overlaying that on property. So that journey started 18 years ago, and made that mistake a lot of us make, the high-rise apartment with the Spruker in Sydney, which didn't make any money for 6-7 years. Time sort of heals those wounds. But it was, they're good lessons for me to learn, and they're great lessons for me to share now with my clients on making sure we first set up a strategy rather than just sell them whatever we think is best and easiest for us to sell. But we always talk about a strategy first before we even talk about property or areas or destinations to buy.
Yeah, so you've actually lived like a mistake, right? And the only way you learn things in life is by mistake. So that high-rise property thing, then you've absorbed that. You are, I'm assuming, upset and angry and whatever. Probably more pissed off at yourself for not doing enough research, which now, by the sounds of it, mate, comes across tenfold for you and your clients, right?
Yeah, and I think, times moves on. I mean, in research, you're correct, but what did we have back then, Chris? I had books. I read books. There was no podcasts. There was no Google. There was none of that. The only thing we had for research was I'd go to these events, which were, now looking back, were run by Spruikers, who were selling high-rise apartments and house and land packages. And so they were getting these massive commissions. They'd set up the room and RSL clubs, and you just go to listen about property, absorb yourself. But there was no interest of the client in mind. It was purely about just selling that one high-rise apartment. And there were terrible investments. It was more about just getting you into that property. So, yeah, but that's all part of the learning. And, the journey goes on, and then bought another 5 or 6 properties after that. In 1 year, we bought 5 properties, again, taking advantage of lending. This is pre-raw commission when the banks were running a bit rogue. We were able to do that, which, in hindsight, if we didn't take action then, we'd be in a very different position today. So, sometimes there are those troughs and peaks in our decision-making as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like it is, it's like any industry. Normally, as time goes on, we learn and we, systems and processes and stuff get a lot better, except from Western Australia, where we still build in double brick houses. So I just wanted to throw that one in there.
Can't you build them any faster there? Come on.
It's unfortunately, that's just the place that we live in. But anyway, I just thought that was my listeners will understand that, how I feel about double brick. Julie, okay, so I'm a client. I just straight off the bat, I meet you on a train or whatever, and we're chatting about it. city in Australia do you think at the moment has shown the greatest growth or the best investment opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, again, backed by data and where we're buying, Perth is obviously the flavour for us at the moment, and it's a FOMO city at the moment, as you know, with the East States. But, you know, because we did get in there early, built the relationships, actually hired our own team on the ground in Perth, it's put us a long way ahead of the competition. We're not buying from behind a computer here in Sydney. We've actually got people doing that work for us in Perth. And so, yeah, that probably differentiates us. A lot of most buyers agents, I guess, are using property managers or real estate agents to do their work, which is not really in our mind the ethical stance of what a buyer's advocate is. We advocate for the buyer. And so we're going to make sure we have an independent view on that property, not use a real estate agent's opinion, because ultimately they're getting a percentage to sell at the highest price. That's their job. And our job is to get the best price, the best terms, and more importantly, the best investment for our client. So so Perth is something we're buying. You know, we're probably doing at least a couple of deals a week in Perth at the moment. You know, Kalamunda, Canning, Bassendrown, Joondalup, Armadale bought a lot in Gosnells, obviously a lot in that Rockinghamshire with the development down there with the Navy base,
It's going to be huge. That's right. That's really interesting, mate, because I must be honest, like probably we get, I don't know, say 5 and 10 inquiries a week between myself and Tony, and some clients just don't want to build because they don't want to wait that long to make their money, which is completely understandable. So I guess in that, and saying that, would you be okay if I push these clients onto you and you can do that research for them? And if I am, how do the listeners get in contact with you? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, I guess, you know, we're very active on social. Luke Moroney, who's my business partner, he's always doing a daily post on Facebook and has done so for, I think, 5 years. I'm very much more on the LinkedIn side. I produce a piece of content, educational content, every single day on LinkedIn as well. So between the two of us, we're kind of covering a lot of the social angles and more around education, building people's knowledge. And I think that builds trust in us because we're sharing and sharing and sharing. Out to the public. We're not hiding where we're buying. You know, a lot of people won't tell you where they're buying because, oh, it's a secret. It's not a secret. It's for us to share. Our service is more based around the knowledge and actually the buying services of that. So there's a whole huge element of once we put the contract, the negotiation side is a big element because, you know, the average Australian only buys 3 properties in their life. So for us, that means they're not negotiating. They're not experts. And a real estate agent, a selling agent, as we call them, I mean, these guys are trained every day of the year on how to sell at the highest price, how to manipulate and talk around psychology to the buyer and the seller because they're playing both sides, whereas we advocate only for the one side. So, yeah, that's probably where we sort of take that angle is really building that entire flow of the customer journey. So negotiating, buying, then there's pest and building, there's getting to unconditional. We have to put insurance on the property once we get there. And then there's a lot of work to be done between that unconditional stage and settlement. So it could be looking for property managers, maybe some repairs and maintenance, maybe just working out a few bits and pieces for the client. We take all that on board because, as I mentioned, our perfect client is busy with their full-time jobs and 2 kids. Yeah. They don't have time to do any of these type of things during the day. And I always say you can only buy property during the day, right? You can't do it at night.
Yeah, that's true. Mate, that's really, honestly, I've learned quite a lot just by this podcast itself because there is a lot more to it that you guys offer than what I originally thought. So apologies for that, but thanks for educating me. Julian, searchpartyproperty.com.au, that's your website. But what's your direct mobile number, mate? How can people get in contact with you today if they want to pick up a call?
That'd be great. I mean, you know, there's no obligation. Happy to chat and just give people our ideas and thoughts, share with them our case studies, share where we're buying. I just mentioned 5 or 6 suburbs there that we bought in this week. My mobile number is 0418-679-2830, 0418-679-2830, or you can shoot me an email with a question and we can set up an appointment at Julian, J-U-L-I-A-N, at searchpartyproperty, oneword.com.au.
How come you didn't put your last name in your email address, mate?
Oh, mate, I can't type that fast. It'll take me too long.
Brilliant. Well, Julian, look, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it, mate. At the time of recording, this will be launched next week. I'm sure we're going to get a few hits because I'm going to do a bit of a build up to this one and hopefully we'll send it to you guys prior to us launching it as well if you want to share it on your your socials and stuff like that, I'd be more than honoured. But mate, thank you so much for coming on board. I really appreciate it. And you have a good weekend when it comes, yeah?
Yeah, great to chat, Chris. Appreciate your time. We'll see you soon.
Cheers, Julian. Bye.
Bye, mate.
There you go, mate.